Can you think of a better place to be right now? I really can't, you know? I mean, my wife has invited to something on a Sunday, and she said, well, gee, I don't know if I should go or not. And I said, well, why don't we just ask the Lord? Because if we're supposed to be in church, boy, we better be there. But if we're supposed to be somewhere else, we better be there. But I'm sure glad you're here today. Are you really genuinely excited about serving God with all of your heart?
Yes.
All right. See, that's what we want. Now, if you're not, who, somebody over here had their hand. Was that you? Yeah, look at that face. Okay. That's good. Now, if you're not feeling that today, that's okay. You're just being honest about it. But what we can do is we can try that on. Because we want to look at trying on some things and then compare that to what's really going on in our hearts. Our theme today is God's fire. God's fire. So let's talk about the outside for just a minute. I was shocked this morning when I saw Brady. Brady, could you stand up? Look at him. God, isn't he good looking? I mean, look at the way he's like all dressed up. He's got that tie. Everything's going on, you know. The only thing is, you know, the more I think about it, it's like he's missing one thing. But you know what? I have it with me today.
Oh, no.
I just happen to have exactly what he needs. Now, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, because I might be wrong, but I don't know. I think I'm right. What do you think, huh? Yeah, let's try this. There you go. Let's see what it looks like. There you go. Oh, he's got it on backwards. Oh, I thought you were just kind of styling it that way. There you go. All right. Wait a minute. Let's get a little attitude here. Whoa, yeah? All right, okay, good. Thank you. That's good. Now, if I were to put this hat on, I couldn't walk normally. I have to walk a little bit like this. Okay? You touch my car, I'll break your face. See, I mean, it just kind of works that way. All right, now there's all kinds of things we could put on. Now, last week, I didn't bring my treasure chest, and one person was really upset. I mean, she started crying and everything. Not exactly. It was E. Now, what if E were to wear this hat? What would she sound like? Should we try it on her?
Yes.
Here you go. There you go. Oh, yeah. All right. Now, Yi, stay standing for just a minute. Now, what if Yi, now we know she's Asian, okay? But let's pretend for a minute that she's from down south. And she just loves Jesus. Because that's how they say it down there. You know, it's like, praise Jesus. Can you say that?
Praise Jesus.
Good job. Good job, okay? Yeah, we're covered. See, on the outside, culture makes us something that maybe we're not born with. You know, I was looking at the little children today in communion during service. I was paying attention, but they just caught my eye. And I thought of, like, when I'm in China and I see all these beautiful little children in orphanages, you know, and it's like you just grow up differently because of where you live. Now, here's this hat, okay? This is a fun one. This is made out of recycled stuff, okay? This is kind of like the up north, you know, woodsy guy, you know. And I got a friend from a Church of Christ, and he says, praise God. Praise God. That's how he says. Can you say that? Say that with me. Praise God. You know what's that guy's name? Randy Jackson on American Idol. You know how he always says dog? You know, it's not spelled D-O-G, it's D-O-W-G. And that they spell God, G-A-U-D, you know, God. It's just kind of funny. But there's coverings that come over us on the outside that shape our thinking. And sometimes we're not even fully aware of what those coverings are. Now, you may have seen this picture before. These are my granddaughters. All right, and here they are covered in Chinese, costumes, dresses I bought while I was in China, okay? And they're just so sweet, you know, and everybody goes, aw, okay, really nice. All right, so much for the grandkids. So when they put these on, they say things like, ni hao ma, They say stuff like shishi, you know, because I taught them all the Chinese I know, and that's what they say. Early Christian artwork portrayed the beautiful scenes of the Old Testament, and they always drew covering the head of the characters, whether it's Moses or Noah. They would draw what we call a halo about their heads. You know, and I wonder, like when Moses came out from the presence of God, his face shined so much. He was freaking people out. So he had to put something over his head. Now, I was thinking this morning as Brady was doing communion, we took that little symbol, tiny, neatly cut square piece of bread, and we ate it. Do you know where that bread is right now? It's in your stomach. All right? And then you had that little cup of wine. And that's a symbol of Christ's blood. And it's in us right now. Now, it's just a symbol of it. But the reality is that if you take Christ into you, then shouldn't you be different than you were before you had Christ in you? And if you take in more of Christ, no matter what kind of hat you're wearing, okay? No matter what's on the outside, what's on the inside should begin to come through in a new and exciting way. So today we want to take a look at this idea of what is on the inside, this kind of fire, this fire, all right? And there are good fires and there are bad fires. Would you agree with that? I mean, if a fire, you know, there's a house. One day I was at church and I looked and it was this huge, you know, fire right down the street, right where my house is. And I thought, huh, looks like it's on fire. Well, it turned out it was a house on the other side of the woods. And it had burned down. It was a destructive fire, you know. And what it produced, really, was just a lot of ashes like this, all right? Fresh ash right out of my Weber grill. Okay, just ashes. That's all it leaves is ash behind. All right? Very sad story. So there's a negative fire. And in every one of our lives, have you recognized that you don't just have Holy Ghost fire? You have another kind of fire going on. All right? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many here have ever had a lustful fire burning? You know? Maybe you saw a billboard or somebody or something. And it triggered some thoughts. That's a fire. The Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom, and speaking of moral issues, and not be burned? You see? So there's negative fires. But at the same time, this is what I want us to get today. God has put a holy fire into every single one of us. There's a way to burn through life with His fire that is a light. It's a candle. And, you know, just a minute ago up here we had this, and Brady said something about, you know, we want to leave our, was it our footprint or our handprint or our stamp. Yeah. You know, that's what fire does. It leaves its mark. It's like a branding iron, you know. And it's like in the book of Revelation where it says, He'll give us a new name, and it's written on us. It's like there's a stamp, you know, like from a branding iron that seals us. And that's what we want to leave everywhere we go. That's very exciting. Now, here's the thing. This is part of our spiritual DNA. Where is your fire from God? How is that fire expressed? Because we're all different. But it's still that one source that must overcome that other kind of fire, that negative fire, all right? So there's things from the outside that influence us. But that which is on the inside from God should overtake that which is on the outside, all right? Now, you're Asian, I'm Sicilian, all of our people are genetically short until they come to America. And then they eat, I don't know, this hormone-injected food and cows that are all hyped up on whatever. And all of a sudden, everybody grows big. How many of you heard your grandparents say, oh, you're so tall? Raise your hand. That ever happened to you? Yeah, me too. And then I went to school with all the white kids and found out I was really short. Okay? It just happens that way. So outside influences change us. But we've got to get back to that one thing that is of God, that is His fire burning in you and through you. All right? So you can either do church or be the church. And even churches. Communion today was fantastic. I loved your music. It was beautiful. It just kind of set the mood and the tone. And I'm thinking, boy, this guy's fire is a steady fire. You know, he's like the gas stove when you turn it on and the flame just comes up so high and that's it. It just keeps burning. Cook all day. It's fantastic, okay? Good fire. Like that. You know. But sometimes, as young people raised in a church, you come to church and it's just a routine. But, you know, God wants to break through that so that we're hooked up with Him, getting fueled from Him continually throughout our day. Now, there's a caution here because even though I could right now say, are you excited to be in church today? And everybody goes, yeah, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We can fake it, and that's okay as long as we're heading toward making it real. Because God sees through that, and most of all, He sees our heart. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 11 says this, but now all you who light fires and provide yourself with flaming torches, okay? In other words, you try to get yourself worked up in God, all right? He says, walk in the light of your fires and in the torches that you have ablaze. But this is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. It's a scary verse, isn't it? Go ahead, try to get yourself excited. You know, go ahead, try to play church. You know, try to make it more entertaining for the kids so we can get more chairs in here today. It was so nice in the sanctuary. We had to set up more chairs. You know, that's good. But there are churches that do that. Let's make it more exciting so we get more people. It's not about the quantity of people. It's about the quality of our passion for the Lord. You head there first, and the other thing will take care of itself. It's exciting. The seven sons of Sceva, they saw Paul. He's laying hands in the name of Jesus. Be healed. They thought, oh, that's fun. Let's try it. So they tried it. In the name of Jesus, they prayed that these evil spirits would come out. And those evil spirits attacked them and they ran off. You see, the prophets of Baal trying to bring a fire down. And then God's prophet comes on the scene and the fire comes instantly. Very exciting. Here's the point. You want to get the fire. Get that fire, that Holy Ghost fire. And then you want to be that fire. Okay? And then we spread that fire. Now, last Sunday morning, I was just minding my own business, walking up the hill to the church, and all of a sudden, the Lord gave me a picture. He gave me this picture in my mind, because I work with pictures, so He speaks with me through pictures. And there it was, baptism. And the whole idea of baptism is that one is buried in the water. But the idea this time was that we have been baptized, you know, in different kinds of coverings, you know. I've got a friend, his main goal is to bring Italian people to Christ. Okay, I don't get it, but anyhow, that's the goal. And if they're here, he wants to bring them all back to Italy. I don't get it, okay? But he's covered in everything that's Italian. It's Italian. If it's not Italian, it's not any good. You know? It's a covering. And so for other people, it can be all kinds of things, you know, that we get covered in. You know, I have my mom and the French teacher at school were two of a kind, you know? If it is not French, how can you eat it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just, it's that everything, and they're covered in everything French. But here's what God wants. He wants us buried in Christian culture, in Christianity, in purity, in holiness. But in this vision that I had, the people were buried in the world. They believed in worldly music. They believed in worldly leisure time activities, whether it's paint gun or golf or whatever. They were baptized in it and didn't even know it. And it takes a move of God so that we can strip ourselves clean of everything we've been immersed in, whether it's Chinese, American, French, Italian, you know, whatever, so that we can get right back to the real fire of the kingdom of God. Because that's the only thing that really matters. It's the only thing that matters. So these coverings, and there's plenty of scripture that backs all this up, and if I start reading all these, you're going to fall asleep, so I won't. But it's true. We have all of these kinds of coverings. And in Isaiah, it says there, my people, God is speaking to his people. He says, my people have covered themselves with another covering. They've run to Egypt, a type of the world, for protection and for a sense of security. And he says, you'll lie down in sorrow. It's not going to work. There's one covering that is God's covering in our lives. Let's take a look at this idea of the baptism here. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? And Jesus answering said to him, let it be so for now, for thus it becometh the law to fulfill all righteousness. And so then John allowed him to be to baptize Christ. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. And a voice came from heaven, lo, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, here's the idea. How would you like to hear God say, you are my daughter, you are my son, Eric, that I am well pleased with you? Would you like to hear that? What? Woo! Okay, of course we want to hear that. How does that happen? It comes through baptism. Because when you're put into that tank or that lake or the river or whatever, you're buried, you're dead. That's the idea. You're buried alive. And all the old gets buried, and when you come up, there's resurrection life and power, okay? And that's the idea. Now, what happened? Who can tell me? What happened when Jesus came out of the water, the dove landed on him? Where did Jesus go next? What? He went to the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit to a dry, barren place. And what happens there, okay, is that a person in the wilderness dries out, all right? They get dried out. Now, I happen to have fire. How can you share on fire if you don't have fire, right? I had fire. I just tried this before I came. Oh, there it is. There we go. Now, if I take this and I put this to this, what's going to happen? All right, should I do it?
Yes.
Yeah. The kids say yeah, and all the adults say no. I love it. Fire! All right, I'm not going to do it. Well, I planned on doing it, but I forgot to bring like a metal tray or something. But anyhow, all right, so fire will consume it, but it has to be dry. If I take this and I baptize it, and I take it out and it's all wet, it won't start fire. If you are baptized, drenched in this world, you cannot start fire. You have to go to a wilderness place. Now, if I said, oh, let's take a field trip to the wilderness, you know, it's going to be great. It's all dry and barren. And let's stay there. 30-day fast. Let's do it. Yay, in the wilderness. Pretty soon those rocks are going to start to look like bread. Who wants to go? Nobody wants to go to the wilderness. You want? Oh, she does. She's going. Oh, and her friend. They're going everywhere. All right. Now, here's the point. Where is your wilderness? Where are you dried out? Where are you desperate for God? Okay? Where are the branches in your life that aren't bearing fruit? Dead wood. You haven't abided in the vine. And your branches are drying up. There's no leaves on them. God comes to prune that. And you have dead wood. He can build a fire. And that's our whole point today. Where is death? Where's dead wood in you? We can prune those branches off and build an incredible fire. It's exciting. So Jesus was led by the Spirit from Jordan into this wilderness, and that's in Luke chapter 4. And verse 14 says, "And he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And there he went. There went out his fame throughout all the region round about." This is what we're looking for. Influence. Because we have the fire of God in our lives. Now I know school's almost over for you. Is it almost over? You're done? Are you all done? Okay, so some of...
One day.
But who's counting, right? Okay. All right. When you head into the summer, it's not a time to put your brain and your spirituality on vacation. You know, it's a time that you are... Your schedule is free from teachers and homework and all the cultural stuff that goes on in the hallways. It's a time to really dig deep into God. Listen to what it says in Young's literal translation about 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. It says this, going through verse 5. "And I do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, for all of our fathers were under a cloud." Okay? They're under something. We're all always under something. Get this. "They were under a cloud and they passed through the sea. And all to Moses were baptized in the cloud." Okay? "They were under this cloud and the pillar of fire in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all the same spiritual drink did drink. For they were drinking of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Jesus. But in the most of them, God was not pleased." They were under Moses, a great man of God, and yet God wasn't pleased with most of them. Isn't that incredible? They all were in the same church. They were all under the same natural man. You know, but God wasn't pleased with most of them. And that's a problem. That is a little bit of a problem. Now I want to take a look at being under. Under the law, under grace. You know, these are two concepts, and we're all under both of them in some varying measures at different times. When you're a little tiny squirt and mom says, "You're under the law, don't run in the street. You have to stay under that law." Now, nobody's under that law now. You know better, okay? But for a period, you have to be under some restrictions until you grow up. And then, you know, like the first time you get the keys from your parents, you know, you walk out the door and you look in the window at the house and there's mom and dad kneeling before the couch praying that you don't destroy the car or get hurt. You know, by the time you're 18, they're screaming and crying out to God, you know, if you're a boy, that you get home safely. By the time you're, you know, 25, when the insurance rates go down, you know, just you got the keys, everything's cool. So we're under grace and we're under power, under the law, depending on who we are and where we are at the time. But looking at Romans chapter 6, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, so that the old covering is broken." All right? And there's a new covering that comes in our lives. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from these other laws." So if you have a law of sin, a fire that is destructive in your life, the law of the Spirit being connected with God makes you free from this law so that you overcome the bad fire with the good fire. All right? There's a firefighting technique, you know, when these huge forest fires happened out west. There were people, there's a story and it was all recorded and documented. They were actually trapped. The fire was coming. So what they did was they built a fire, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But they built a fire, let's say like the size of this room. They built this huge fire, and they burned out this area. And then when the fire came from that direction toward them, there was nothing left to burn. So the fire went around them. This is such a beautiful picture of Psalm 91 about the end times when God's people are in trouble. So what I'm saying is this. We have to have God's fire in order to be saved from a destructive fire. Because His fire in us will overcome every other kind of fire that there is. Okay? Fire is an essential in our lives today. Now, there was a king, and I want us to identify with this king, okay? Joash was his name. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, "Now Elisha, the prophet of that day, was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face. And he said, 'Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And Elisha said unto him," now you got to remember this Elisha, he's weak, he's feeble, he's ready to die. He says, "Take," I'm dramatizing here, "take the bow and arrows." And so the king took the bow and the arrows. And the king said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand on the bow. And Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And the king said, "What?" He said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Otherwise, it's a real boring scene. You know what I mean? So we got... And then... I've never done this before. And then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrows of the Lord's deliverance and the arrows of the deliverance from Syria. And thou shalt smite the Syrians at Apek till thou hast consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took the arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite the ground." He smote the ground three times. And he stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him. And he said, "Thou should have smitten five or six times. Thou hast smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." And Elisha died. And they buried him. Now get this. There's one more thing out of that. God puts arrows into our hands. He gives us what we need to fight the battle. All right? We got a call yesterday, and it was the Chemlon people. They said, "Good morning, how are you today?" It's like, "You're reaching in my pocket. What do you want?" They said, "The last time our serviceman was out, he noticed that you have quite an infestation of bugs around your house." And I said, "No, I don't." And they said, "Well, you know," and went on. Okay, they're trying to sell me something. Now, if I did have bugs trying to get in my house, okay, would I want to kill half of them or all of them? All right? If you have bugs trying to get into your spirit, if you have bad fire, okay, a passion for playing games or being competitive, a lustful passion that you know if you let that fire take over, it'll be like a forest fire, it'll ravish you. Do you want to get rid of just half of your problem or do you want to get rid of all of it? You don't, I'm not, I, that just didn't sound real convincing. You know what I'm saying? The reality today is this. You have a problem. You and I have problems. Yeah. How many of us here have cancer cells in our bodies right now? You're not sure. This enthusiasm has contemplated that carefully. Yeah. You know. But if you knew exactly where those cancer cells were, would you want to get rid of half of them? Or all of them?
All of them.
All of them, exactly. So here's what we need today. We need two things. Number one, I'm sick. I've got wrong fire. Number two, I need God's fire. Amen?
Amen.
That is what we need to move forward in the Lord. And so Elisha was distraught with this guy. And you know, if you read on in history, he only smote the enemy three times. And the enemy came back, you know, and overpowered and actually came against and took captives of God's people. And here's the bottom line. You are going to be a captive of God, or a captive of that enemy that co-inhabits your life, that bad fire. And it's our choice this morning to choose which one we're going to fuel. If you look at wrong things, you're going to have a wrong fire. If you look at right things, you will have a right fire. You see? If you do violence, the kingdom of God allows violence against our old nature so the new nature can take over. What we have to do here this morning is tap into your God-given fire. Because that is what is going to give you the passion that will influence the world in which we live. This Elijah had so much passion. Get this. He died, and they buried him. And the bands of Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, this was like some months later, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. So Elisha's dead body's been there for a while. They take this guy who's dead, and they throw him in the sepulcher. And when the man was let down, it's probably a hole in the ground, and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. You know, I mean, there's the power of a man that has passion. Even his bones cause resurrection life in somebody else. That's powerful. That's very powerful. Now, if Elisha came to you with instructions to do this or that, how passionate, how fired up would you and I be? Would we be a three-arrow Christian or a six-arrow Christian? There's Mary and Martha. They were both women of passion. Mary, you know, was concerned about the Lord. So was Martha. But one of them had a passion to put everything in order and to cook the meal and to keep everything clean, wipe your feet before you come in, or the dishes are right over there. And the other one, she was oblivious to all that natural stuff. And all she wanted to do was be with Jesus. And Jesus said, she has chosen the better thing to be passionate about. And so this is what we want this morning. I've got a little clip. I had other stuff I was going to show you. I just got carried away talking. So I'd like to show you this little clip here this morning. And it's from a movie, really cool movie called, what's it called, hon? Potato Faith? Faith Like Potatoes. Anybody ever see it?
No.
I'm sorry. The way you said no, it's like... All right, it should pop up here any second. It's a great scene here, and it's the wrong kind of fire. And I think we need to see this. Oh, there it is. Whoa, volume. Okay, let's try this for volume. Can you see the movie? Oh, I'm in the way. Do you want me to put the volume back in? Sure. All right, I want this half to make the crackling sound, this half to read the subtitles. Oh, wait, do you hear it? No. All right, we'll just do it like this. We've made progress, though. We got it. early on he was commanding his worker to pray for rain. And the black worker said, "It's not going to rain. It's not going to rain." You know. And this is a true story. It's about mission. There were missionaries. I forgot where. All right, the idea there is real simple. You know, that God delights in the fact that he can pour out his rain in our lives to bring down these negative fires. So this morning, I know we usually close in a song. I've got a song. Would it be okay if I play that song? It's kind of quiet, but the idea is this morning, very simply as we finish up. You know, number one, where is that negative fire? And secondly, are we willing to, like this picture, this is done by one of my students, to be baptized, to really dive deep into God's Word? That will be convicting. To point out that which is wrong. And then to let those, like, broken branches be removed from our lives to build His fire. To build His fire. So I'm going to play the song for you. And what I'd like for you to do, I'll play part of it. It's very repetitive. All right? But I'd like you to just, this morning, be a bit contemplative and review these things, okay? Look, we put funny hats on. All right? We look at a video clip. We do all these sort of things, but the point is simple. If we don't leave this place today, you know, with the truth of this message, then we will have missed out majorly. So let's just close our eyes.